Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 as we continue our series in the book of 1 John called Certainty. It was written so that we would know that we have eternal life. College is good training for the life skill of getting ready for your day in the dark. Because when you're in college and you have a roommate and you have different sleep schedules and you don't get enough sleep as a college student, and so man, the one thing you can't stand is if your roommate is allowed in the morning if you don't have a class at 8 a.m., right? You just can't stand it. And so a good life skill to learn in college is how to get dressed for your day in the dark, because that will serve you well as you move on from college and if you have another roommate known as a spouse. And you got to get good at, if you get up early in the morning for work, at getting ready for your day in the dark, and you think you have it all set, and then you realize in the light that you put on one black sock and one brown sock, and maybe some of you do that even with the lights on, but the light tends to show how good you are at finding your way in the dark. And then when you have kids, it's like you go to the next level of this game of trying to move around in the dark, because now you have to navigate their toys that were left out from the night before. And especially if your child gets into Legos, right? A living room floor in the dark can be a very dangerous place. I'm not like always the biggest fan of everything that I see on the internet, but it can produce some entertaining things for us. And so this is a photo of a shark stepping on a Lego. I'm really glad that we were able, because that's what it feels like when that happens, right? And so it's amazing how something as easy as walking across your living room floor, if you turn the lights off, all of a sudden that can become a hazardous activity, because light is very important. And so we are in this series of 1 John, talking about the certainty that we can have. The Bible does not want us to be in the dark concerning our eternal destiny. The Bible, 1 John, was written so that way we would know that we have eternal life. And we started last week by talking about how Jesus is the Word of life. He is eternal. He appeared, and He must be proclaimed. The good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection must be proclaimed so that we can have fellowship with Him and fellowship with each other. And now this morning, we're going to go to the second half of 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to talk about walking in the light. Walking in the light. Let me read for you our passage this morning. It's 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. Verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The outline for this paragraph is pretty simple to see and to understand. John starts off with the message, and then he's going to give us the application for that message, and then he's going to clarify his application. So it's his message, his application, and then he's going to clarify that application for us. And he starts off in verse 5 by saying, "This is the message we have heard from Him." Now, who is the Him that he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. And so gather around. Listen up, John is saying. A man who walked with Jesus for 3 years is about to summarize for us Jesus' message in three words. when you see that, you should pay attention. And by the way, if you ever come across a passage that says, this is the message, and your pastor's preaching on it, and that's not his message, he's not done with it yet. Okay, so it's pretty simple to figure out what the message should be this morning when the passage says, this is the message. I was thankful. My job was pretty easy. If I had messed that up, you should have called me out on that. He says, this is the message that we heard from Jesus in the 3+ years of his ministry as we walked with him. Here it is. God is light. God is light. And that is probably not what most people would expect this verse to say. Because I think if a lot of people were going to summarize the message of Jesus, and they knew that the first two words of that summary were God is, and then fill in the blank, they would assume that the message would be God is love. God is love. And we're going to get there, by the way. 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4, I promise, are going to be all about the love of God. But as John starts off this message in summarizing the life of Jesus, he doesn't start with God is love. He starts with God is light. And I think that there is a reason for that. I want us to discover that together this morning. Before John tells his churches about the love of God, he wants to tell them about the light of God. This is what it's all about, that God is light. There is no darkness at all in him. And there's a lot of things that John could mean when he says God is light, because light has a lot of different qualities, doesn't it? Light exposes dangers like Legos. It reveals what is true. It helps us get somewhere. It's fast. It's powerful. It's pure. It's good. It's purposeful. So we have to figure out, what does John mean when he says God is light? And I think it's pretty clear from the context that in this, light and truth are connected. Because look at verse 6. In verse 6 he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We do not practice the truth. John could have said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not walk in the light. That would also have been an accurate statement, because light reveals what is true. When you ask someone to shed some light on that for you, you are asking them to help you see and understand what is true. Light reveals the truth and darkness hides the truth. When I was a counselor at camp, one of the programs for those going into ninth grade at Lake Ann is called their Fresh Start program, and you stay in tents for part of the week and go on this rafting trip, and so I'm with 6 ninth grade boys in a tent one night, and I'm woken up to the sound of one of my campers throwing up outside the tent. And my first thought was, boy, I'm sure glad he's outside the tent right now. That was a close one. And then my second thought was, I hope he's okay. But it was definitely in that order of things, right? Man, I'm sure glad he's, oh, are you okay? Okay, so I made sure he was all right. He was okay. I don't know what it was. And then we go back to sleep. We wake up the next morning. And the next morning, the light reveals that he hadn't made it out of the tent in time. And he threw up all over my backpack. I know. That's what I get for being selfish and thinking about myself first. In the darkness, I thought everything was fine in that tent, right? It was all good because the darkness hid the truth. But in the morning, when the light showed up, the truth was evident and it wasn't pretty either. Darkness has a way of covering things up. It conceals what is true, but God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. There is nothing hidden. There is no deception. We can trust him. We can have confidence and certainty when it comes to God because he is light. We are going to see at the end of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, it says this, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." Whatever is true because it conforms to who God is or what God is. He is not simply truthful. He is the very definition of truth. He determines what is true, and nothing is truly understood until it is seen in the light of God. So there's this connection between light and truth, but John chose to use the word light and not just the word truth. So why did he choose to say God is light instead of just saying that God is truth? I think the answer is because light communicates something truth does not. Because if, when you say that God is truth, that could be pretty bad news, right? There could be some hard truths. There can be some truth, God is truth and you can't handle the truth connotation, right? There can be some truth that you don't want to hear. But he isn't saying that God is this hard truth for us. He is saying that God is light, which also communicates hope and joy. Light communicates hope and joy. Because when people are going through a hard time in their life, what are they looking for? They're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. Light communicates hope. Even Annie reminds us that the sun will come out tomorrow, except today. The sun will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow, you can bet your bottom dollar, tomorrow there'll be sun. Because sun gives us light, gives us hope. It gives us truth. Yeah, your pastor just encouraged you to gamble. Great. All right, so light gives us, communicates joy. It's romantic when you tell someone, "You are my sunshine." Right? My only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Like, if you call someone a ray of sunshine, you are not saying that they are dangerous and cause cancer. Right? That's not what you're intending to communicate when you tell them that they are this lighted thing. You are saying that they bring joy and happiness and hope. And I believe that these two thoughts are connected here for us. When he says that God is light, he is saying that God reveals the way to true hope and joy. God is light. He reveals the way to true hope and joy. There is no darkness in Him at all. And while that is a wonderful truth and a glorious truth for us to enjoy this morning, there is also a scary part of that as well. Because when we say that God is light, we also have to understand that the Bible tells us that we are not. The Bible tells us that we are dark. That apart from God, who is the light, we are dark. In and of myself, I am completely contrary to who God is. That's the truth of the Bible. I can't be with Him because darkness and light can't coexist. Which means that I don't just have problems, and I have plenty. I don't just have problems. I am the problem. If you got rid of all my circumstances around me, all the negative peer pressure around me, all the media that tempts me, and you got rid of all of it, and I was the only person left on this earth, I would still have a sin problem because the one thing I can't get rid of is myself. I am a problem. I am dark. Ephesians 5 says that outside of Christ, I am darkness. Colossians 1 says that I was in the domain of darkness. Jesus said in John 3 that man loves darkness instead of the light because our deeds are evil. And so we think sin is a behavior problem, and it is. But sin is first an identity problem. There's a problem with who I am. I am dark. I don't just do sinful things. I am sinful in and of myself. I'm a sinner by both nature and behavior. I'm a sinner by both nature and behavior. I am a child of wrath, the Bible says. I am not just a victim of circumstance. I was not just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I am the problem. I am spiritually dark. And that's why we need Jesus so desperately, church. That's why we need Him. Because Jesus, the light, came and invaded the darkness of this world and the darkness of my heart. Jesus walked in the light on this earth. Nothing to hide. Perfect in nature and behavior. God in human form. He lived the perfect life that you and I failed to live. He died the death on the cross that you and I deserved to take the punishment for our darkness, for our sin. He rose again, conquering sin and death because He is the light of the world. He offers the way to true hope and true joy. His message to a dark world was God is light. God is light. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. On a surface level, there's a really simple application to the truth that John has just given us about God. God is light, so walk in the light. That's the simple application. And he starts off in verse 6 with the negative side of this application. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So here's the negative side of this application. You can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. Because you can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with the light. It's a logical thought process that he's bringing it to. This is the natural conclusion to the truth that God is light. If God is light, then I can't walk in darkness and have fellowship with Him. We see this right in the beginning of the Bible with Adam and Eve, who walked with God, right, in the first couple chapters of the Bible. And then Genesis 3 happened, and they sinned. They chose darkness instead of the light. They chose the lie instead of the truth. And after they sinned, they did what? They hid themselves. They went to the darkness, literally, to get away from the light. To get away from where God was. Because living in darkness destroys fellowship with God because you are choosing to walk where He isn't. So what does it mean to walk in darkness? It means that one's lifestyle is not consistent with what is true and right and good and glorifying to God. It is living based on my own wants, my own desires, my own glory, what makes me happy, what makes me feel good, rather than living based on God's glory, what God says is right, the truth of His Word, rather than in the light. And this is such a good verse to show people who think that they can be fire insurance Christians. People who use Jesus as a get out of hell free card. Right? The thought process is, well, since salvation is a gift and it's not about what I do, then I can just place my faith in Jesus and then go live however I want in my sin. That's not the truth of the Bible. That's not the truth of God's Word. Christianity is about a relationship with the God of the universe. It is about us who were separated from God being brought back into fellowship with Him. Remember from last week, fellowship. It's not just socializing after church, right? It's a community. It's a partnership. It's a close relationship. And so you can't walk in darkness and have fellowship, partnership with the light at the same time. You can't walk in the darkness and have fellowship with God at the same time because God is the light. So if you have been brought from darkness to light by grace through faith in Jesus, not based on anything that you could do, then your walk in the light will be different from when you were in darkness. If that transformation has taken place by the grace of Jesus, not based on your works, then your life and your walk will be different. It has to be. John Piper said it this way, and I thought this was really profound. The only way people can desire things more than they desire God is if they are blind to the light of God. Because to choose gravel over diamonds, you would have to be blind. And that's what we do when we choose to go our own way or the way of the world instead of living based on what God says is true. We are choosing what is worthless and temporary instead of what is supremely valuable. We would have to be blind. We'd have to be blind in order to continuously choose what is worthless instead of what is supremely valuable. So you can't live in darkness and have fellowship with the light at the same time. And then verse 7 gives us the positive side of this application. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have fellowship with God when we walk in the light of God. We have fellowship with God when we walk in the light of God. There's three words that are very popular in our culture. Don't judge me. Very popular words for people to say when they feel like they're getting attacked or someone's speaking down to them. They say, hey, don't judge me. And churches get accused all the time of being very judgmental. That's the reason many people give for why they stay away from churches, because they're judgmental. And this is when defining our terms is very important for us, because it's all based on what you mean by the word judgmental. Right? Because if you're defining the word judgmental with the word condemnation, then I would agree with you. Well, it's not my job to condemn people. The church should not condemn people. That is not our responsibility. So I would agree with you that if people are condemning you, then that is a problem. But we as Christians should be trying to bring people to the light. The most loving thing we can do for each other is to bring each other back to the light of God. Because there's nothing more important than walking with Him. And so we're not trying to judge each other. We're not trying to heap condemnation on each other. We're trying to direct each other's attention to the beautiful light of God that is the way to true and lasting hope and joy. So we don't want to be a judgmental church that condemns people. We want to be a church that discerns and guides people to the truth and to walking in the fulfilling light of God. And so when I see a friend that is trying to live in the shadows, when I see a friend that is stumbling in the darkness, when I see a student that is pulling away and starting to follow the ways of this world, our hearts break because we know that they are headed down a path of pain and a path of regret and a path of sorrow, because that's where the darkness leads. I know it's dangerous to live in the dark, and so we want to guide people to the light of God. Ephesians 5:8, for you, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, a transformation has taken place, and we have the privilege of walking in the light of God. We get to experience true joy and true satisfaction and true fulfillment and look forward to a certain eternal hope, because we who were once in the domain of darkness have been transferred to the kingdom of Jesus. We have fellowship with the God of the universe who is light, and with each other. There is no better life than that. Amen, church. And so when it talks about we have fellowship with one another, based on what we've talked about last week in verse 3, I believe the fellowship that he's referring to is both with God and with other believers. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and believers. That's what we experience when we walk in the light of God. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? If we took this verse seriously, I wonder if we would take sin in our lives and our Christian brothers and sisters' lives more seriously. Are we helping each other walk in the light? Are we encouraging each other to live based on the truth of God's Word? Do we recognize that allowing sin to prevail in our lives is putting the glorious fellowship we have at risk? Do we really believe that this is important? That if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Got to understand the last part of that verse. What does that mean, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin when we walk in the light? I believe that this is yet another verse that shows that our salvation is not just a one-time event. It is also a process. We've talked about this before. There's the past, present, and future aspects of our salvation as believers. So at the moment that you place your faith in Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you are justified. That means that the righteous judge, God, declares you to be right on the basis of the work of Jesus. That happens at the moment of your salvation. And then currently, as believers, we are being sanctified. We are in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And one day we will be glorified and enjoy eternal fellowship with our Savior in heaven. Past, present, and future, justified, sanctified, glorified. And so when John says that as we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, I see this as talking about our sanctification, what is presently happening in our salvation, the process of us becoming more and more like Jesus. This is such an important truth for us to grasp, because the reason Jesus came into this world was not just to cover our sin, it was to conquer our sin. Do you believe that? The reason Jesus came into this world is not just to provide a covering for our sin. It was to conquer our sin. Jesus came to cover my sin. I have been justified. I am righteous in the eyes of God if I place my faith in Jesus. And Jesus came to conquer my sin. We can experience victory over our sin. We don't have to live like we used to. We don't have to stumble around in the darkness. We can walk in the light. Jesus came to both acquit and reform, to justify, sanctify, and one day glorify. Because if the gospel doesn't have the power to change my life, it's not good news. Right? If the gospel is just a covering that doesn't change anything I do, that's not good news. I don't want to live like I used to. I don't want to stumble around in the darkness. I don't want to live with the hopelessness that the world has. I don't want to live with the lack of purpose that the world has. I want to live in the light. The gospel is only good news is if it has the power to transform our lives. We don't believe in a powerless gospel, church. We don't. The good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has the power to take me from darkness to light. It transforms. It transforms who we are. Now, some could take that truth, and when it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, they could say that as Christians, we can be, or are expected to be, perfect. And that is why I think John clarifies for us in verses 8 through 10 what he means when he talks about walking in the light so the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Look at verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So in case you think you can be perfect, there you go. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So in case any of you confuse being a Christian with being a perfect, you can stop doing that today. You aren't just deceiving yourself if you say that we are without sin. You are also calling God a liar, according to verse 10, and I just wouldn't advise doing that. It's not a wise decision. So this passage really came together for me in many ways when I saw someone line up verses 6 and 7 with the clarification in verses 8 and 9. I think this helps show the correlation between these verses. So hopefully you can see this. If we say that, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we have no sin. We lie and do not practice the truth. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we confess our sins, we have fellowship with one another. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just love how John goes right down the line and matches those up for us so we can see the connection. Walking in the light means that you are seeing and responding to sin the way God does. John Piper was so helpful to me in this. One pastor I read said, the mark of a Christian is not sinlessness, but sin consciousness. The mark of a Christian is not sinlessness, it is sin consciousness. And so as we I want you to see that when he talks about walking in the light as he is in the light, that lines up with if we confess our sins. Not if we are perfect, not if we have no sin, because that's impossible, right? But if we confess our sins, then we are walking in the light as He is in the light. There's two false statements that we need to make sure we don't fall into as we try to walk this narrow path of understanding here. The first false statement is this: your conduct after conversion has nothing to do with salvation. That isn't true. We've already seen that that can't be true. Because if we have gone from darkness to light, there should be evidence of that. There should be a difference. Jesus came to transform our lives. The gospel is good news because it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel has the power to change my life. No matter what you have done, no matter how dark your life has been, no matter what guilt and shame you bring into this room this morning, Jesus can change your life. Your life can be different. Christian, your life should be different. Your conduct after conversion should show evidence, the fruit, that the Holy Spirit of God is in control of your life. But there's another false statement on the other side, and that's this, that your conduct after conversion must be perfect. That's not true either. So we don't want to fall to one side or the other. We have to walk this line of truth this morning, because that is false. There is room. This room is full of strugglers this morning, right? Full of strugglers. This room is full of people who aren't who we want to be yet, right? This room is full of people who have let their spouses down this week. Spouse, don't say amen. This room is full of people who have let their who have lost their temper with their kids, who haven't always put others first. We haven't made the most of our time. We're still trying to figure out how to effectively share our faith. We are fellow strugglers. We are not perfect. Right? But this passage shows us that the key to walking in the light is not perfection, but confession. The key to walking in the light is not perfection, it's confession. If we confess our sin, if we walk in the light, He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse us. The light of God is full of joy and hope, but it also reveals the truth about my sin, doesn't it? And that reality tempts followers of Jesus to go back into the shadows, to hide from the light. And it's so scary to see so many Christians choosing that type of people that name the name of Christ choosing that path, because fellowship is constantly ruined by people who claim to be followers but live in the darkness, hiding their sin. And when it's brought to the light, there's so much pain, right? And there's so much hurt, and there's so much regret. It's so tragic because the gospel has already completely outed me. The gospel has already revealed that I'm a sinner, right? I'm messed up. The good news of Jesus is only seen as good news when we see what complete failures we are, right? When I accept the gospel, I'm saying, I'm insufficient. I'm not good enough. I can't do this on my own. I need somebody else. I need Jesus. And so when we accept the good news of Jesus, we are already outing ourselves as sinners. But then so many of us then go back to the darkness rather than living in the light of God. Why would we do that? I am not perfect. And the light of God sometimes painfully reveals my sin, but the key to walking in the light is not perfection. It's confession. I think this is so important for some of you today. I want you to believe this so badly, that walking in the light means that I'm not going to hide my sin. I'm going to see and respond to my sin the way God does. I am constantly humbled by my insufficiency and amazed by the sufficiency of Jesus. He is constantly increasing. I am constantly decreasing because I will continually see how much better Jesus is than anyone and anything else. When I walk in the light, I am both broken over my sin and certain of God's grace and forgiveness. That's what walking in the light is. So my question for us this morning is, are you walking in the light of God? Church, just imagine how different our community of believers here would look if we were committed to walking in the light. We would be humbled by our condition, honest about our sin, broken over our failure, amazed by grace, dependent on Jesus, enjoying fellowship with God, comforted by His love, encouraging others to come to the light, experiencing victory over sin, and we would be certain of our eternal destiny. Does that describe you this morning? Are you living in the light? No, you're not perfect, but you're honest. And you confess your sin and strive to live in fellowship with the God of the universe that's so much better than what the world and the darkness offers. If you've been living your life in hiding, can I just urge you this morning, come to the light of Jesus. You don't have to live your life in the darkness. If you're hoping to never be found out, come to the light. Choose the eternal over the temporary. Jesus has the power to change your life, to have you go from living in darkness into the beautiful light of God. Church, are we walking in the light? I'm going to pray for us. Allie and the worship team are going to come up while I pray. She's going to sing a song that says, "In our longing and in our darkness, now the light of life has come." Let me pray for us. Oh God, would we be people who walk in the light? As people that have accepted the good news of Jesus, may we not go back to living like we don't need You. Living like we have it all together and hiding our sin. But help us to see that the key to living in the light of God is not perfection, but it's confession. Honesty about who we are and reliance on who Jesus is. May that be true of our church. May we live in the light. May we constantly just be in awe and wonder of the light of life that came to our darkness. In Your name we pray. Amen.